In the house of Simon the Pharisee, chapter 29. Several Pharisees lived in Capernaum. The Pharisees of Judea and Jerusalem hated the prophet from Nazareth. They did not believe in the Lord Jesus. Instead, they looked for an opportunity to kill him. Neither did the Pharisees of Galilee and Capernaum believe in the Lord Jesus. Oh no, they rejected him as the Messiah. They were offended because Jesus associated intimately with the publicans, and they became angry when Jesus helped and cured ailing people on the Sabbath. Still, they did not hate him to the extent that the Pharisees of Judea and Jerusalem did. That would come later. As you know, the publicans invited each other to their banquets. The Pharisees also had great feasts and invited their friends to their homes. One day a Pharisee, Simon by name, had a banquet. And he invited the other Pharisees. Come, in our thoughts we too will visit Simon's house. The large room, undoubtedly the main room, is arranged nicely in order for the banquet. The long tables stand in the center, upon which the most delicious foods will be served. About the tables are the low resting benches upon which the guests will take their place. Vessels at the door are filled with water. The servants stand ready to serve the guests as they arrive. Simon surveys all this and smiles. Yes, everything is in order. Nothing is lacking. The first guest comes in. Simon walks toward him and kisses him. Probably you think this a bit strange because in our country good friends give each other the hand. But in the Oriental lands, friends gave each other a kiss. The servants take a bowl, fill it with water, and the feet of the guests are washed. The people in the land of Canaan wore sandals. They didn't know of stockings. Because it was so warm in the Orient, the feet would begin to smart. Besides, the sharp sand in which clung to the feet caused pain. You can understand the washing of the feet would be delightfully refreshing. After the washing of the feet, a few drops of salve or oil was put on them and rubbed in. This had a softening effect and took away the burning feeling. It also was the custom with the wealthy that a few drops of choice-smelling ointment or balm were put upon the head of the guest. This nice perfume took away the perspiration odor. This balsam was very expensive. Some people use cologne for that purpose. At that time, they did not know of cologne, therefore they used a sweet-smelling salve or balsam. Gradually, the room of Simon's house is filled with invited guests. Simon greets each one heartily and gives each a kiss. All have their feet washed, and all are anointed with oil. Of course, that is how it should be. Simon makes sure everything is done according to his instructions. Is everyone treated this way? No. Look over there. Someone comes in, but Simon does not walk to meet him. He receives no welcoming kiss. The feet of this man are not washed, and he is not anointed with oil. He receives a place at the far end of the table. Oh, why is this guest treated so shamefully? Simon had invited him. He does not come unasked. He received an invitation the same as the other guests. Who is he? Let us ask Simon. Simon, who is this man? Why didn't you give him a kiss? Why were not his feet washed? And Simon's answer is, what man? Oh, he? He is only the Lord Jesus. Isn't that terrible, children? How insulting to the Son of God. Jesus' feet also were sore and smarting, but Simon is not troubled about that. The Lord Jesus should be happy he was invited to eat with them. But Simon does not receive the Lord Jesus with respect and esteem. Still, the Savior does not walk away angry. No, he remains and acts as though nothing was wrong. But you can be sure he felt it, for he was man, the same as we. We do not like to be treated disdainfully, do we? Finally, all the guests are present, and the meal is ready to be served. Simon places himself at the head end of the table, for he is the host. Simon looks around at his guests. He purposely invited Jesus to win the favor of the people. The people will think it very nice of him and say, "Isn't he a hospitable man?" And they will greet him more courteously than ever. He will be respected more than before. Besides, he will now have a good opportunity to watch Jesus. Who knows? Maybe this prophet will do something whereby they will be able to accuse him. The Lord Jesus knows all this, but he remains silent. While the guests are reclining on the benches around the table and eating the food with relish, a woman quietly enters. Before I go further, I must tell you something. When we invite our friends for a day, the door is closed and no one comes in uninvited. That would be impolite. In the Orient, at such an occasion, the doors stood wide open. Anyone who wanted could come in. Because they were not invited guests, they could not eat with them, but they could see what was going on and could talk to the guests. The host was happy about that. The more, the better. Everyone could see how rich he was and how he entertained his guests. This would become the topic of conversation of the people. The door of Simon's house is standing open, and a woman enters this open door. Momentarily, she stands still in a back corner while listening to the conversation. It seems as though this woman is bashful or is ashamed. Look at her. She is weeping. Who is this woman? And why does she weep? Everyone in the city knows her. Simon and the other Pharisees know her too. When she came in, Simon, the host, probably drew up his nose disdainfully, for this woman was a bad woman. Everyone spoke of her with contempt, and she deserved that too, for she had been a wicked woman. I write, had been. However, as she repented of her sinful life, she is ashamed of her former sinful deeds. Often she wept tears of sorrow and repentance. She hears that Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth, is sitting at the meal in the house of this Pharisee. It could be she has heard Jesus preach at one time. Undoubtedly, she has heard Jesus say he was the Savior, and she believed those words. A Savior was just what she needed. She desired to go to him, but most likely up to now, she didn't dare. However, when she had heard that Jesus was in the house of Simon, she no longer could restrain herself. She goes to the house and slips inside. The disdainful glances of the Pharisees do not frighten her away. It is Jesus who she needs. Slowly she edges toward Jesus. Finally, she stands directly behind him. You already know that in the land of Canaan, the guests reclined on long benches facing the table, while their feet extended away from the table. There stands that wicked woman. She doesn't say a word. She believes that her many sins can only be forgiven by Jesus, but she is unworthy of that. It would be righteous if the Lord Jesus would send her away. Still, she no longer can live without the Savior. Large tears fall from her eyes, tears of true upright repentance, and these tears fall on the feet of Jesus. Yes, her tears make Jesus' feet wet. When she notices this, she dries them off with her hair. She bought a flask of expensive ointment, which she pours on the feet of the Lord Jesus. Why does she do this? Oh, she does this out of love, as she would be willing to give Jesus all she possessed. Her soul craves for a word from the Savior. Will he be willing to also forgive her sins? It has become quiet at the table. All eyes are centered upon this wicked woman and Jesus. A dissatisfied look lies upon each of their faces. Simon especially is greatly offended. He gladly would have driven this impudent woman away with rough, angry words, but he dared not. Still, inwardly, he is sitting there making himself angry. All kinds of ugly thoughts rise in his heart. He thinks, if Jesus were really a prophet, he would not permit that. He would know what kind of a woman she is. He would forbid her to come near him. A despising grin curls his lips. He doesn't say it so you can hear it, but he thinks you can see that Jesus is a deceiver. Suddenly, the stillness which reigns is broken. Jesus addresses himself to the host and says, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." Immediately Simon answers, "Master, say on." He trembles with anger, although outwardly he remains polite. "Simon," the Lord Jesus continues, "there was a man who was very wealthy. One day he loaned a poor man 500 pence. A little later, he loaned another man 50 pence. Both of them were unable to return the borrowed money to him. And what did this rich man do? One day he said to his debtors, 'You need not pay me what you owe me. I freely relieve you of your debt.' Now I ask you, Simon, which of the two would be more grateful? Which of the two would love the rich man most?" Simon answers directly, "Of course, it would be he who was forgiven most. He would love most. He would be more thankful." "Exactly," the Lord Jesus says. "You have given a good answer." Jesus turns around and points to the woman standing behind him. "Do you see this woman?" he asks Simon. "When I came into your house, my feet were not washed, for you gave me no water. But this woman made my feet wet with her tears, and she dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she kissed my feet. You did not anoint my head, but she anointed my feet with ointment. And why did she do that? Because her sins, which are many, are forgiven. That is why she did what you did not. She loveth much, because much is forgiven her. Then the Lord Jesus turned himself to the woman and said in a kind tone, Thy sins are forgiven. O children, surely this was something great for that woman. With these words, an unknown peace descended into her soul. Once again, as she could sob, but this time from joy, her many and great sins are forgiven, and she believes these words. That faith is worked in her heart by God Himself. A profound silence again prevails for a moment. Then the Pharisees begin to talk to each other. They say, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? However, unbelief and distrust ring in their voices. They do not believe the words of the Lord Jesus. On the contrary, they rebel against Jesus. They become resentful and angry. They think Jesus is not allowed to say such a thing. But the Lord Jesus again turns himself to the woman and addresses her with these words, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. And the woman goes away. And she has been delivered from the burden of sin which had oppressed her. She was a prisoner of sin. But the Lord Jesus made her free. Later, when this wicked woman died, she went into eternal glory. And how many of those pious Pharisees have been shut out forever? We do not know. Now this history is being told to you. But what do you do with it? Do you have need of the Savior? Are you grieved because of sin? Do not think you are better. Oh no, if your sins are not forgiven, it will be ill, very ill with you. You can never be saved without the Savior. Remember that well.